Hello and good Saturday morning, everyone. Welcome to this special presentation, the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show here on Classic Hits 101.7. I'm Matt Sharp, being joined by my broadcast partner that you'll hear with me all season long, Brad Coleman. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Matt. Man, it's good to be back. It's good to be basketball season once again.
Hard to believe it's already that time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exciting. You know, had a great year last year and looking for another one this year.
Well, we did have a great year, and I tell you what, there is a lot to look forward to, I think, with both teams. A lot of fun competition to come this fall and winter.
Yeah, you know, Bombers are heading into the 5A West like we were last year and look to be competitive with several of the teams there this year.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to Mountain Home Girls basketball coach Dale Leonard and to see what's been going on during the offseason, what he's got coming up for the season as we continue along here on the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show on Classic Hits 101.7. We welcome you back to the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show here on Classic Hits 101.7. Matt Sharp and Brad Coleman with you here this morning. And joining us right now here in the studio is Mountain Home Girls Basketball Coach Dale Leonard. Dale, good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm sure you guys have had a busy offseason. Tell me what's been going on.
Well, of course, we started with our team camps this summer and really, honestly, had no idea what we were going to do offensively or defensively and just let the girls go out there and play. Our number one goal with such a different roster was to let them grow internally, get to know each other, develop those friendships and closeness. And then once summer ended, we had a pretty good idea of the direction we wanted to go with our offense and our defense, and probably been the best preseason we've ever had. August, September, October, and now into November. And I know they're tired of going against each other. We hear that all the time. And I think that becomes a cliche with most coaches this time of year, but we really are tired of going against each other because it's been intense. It's been just high energy. And I'm excited. It's going to be a little bit different brand than what people may be used to. Of course, shot clock has a little bit to do with that. But it's a brand that's fun to play, fun to coach, and it sure as a heck is fun to watch.
Yeah, Coach, that's what one thing I was going to ask you moving into the season is, with the shot clock being new this year, what adaptations have you had to make as a team?
Well, just the main thing is that the kids are aware and understand. And people always kind of hit us with this stigma of, oh, Mountain Home would never want the shot clock, you know, because they want to slow it down and take the air out of the ball. That's totally wrong. We feel like, and I don't want to speak for Coach Fulcher, but watching him coach and his teams play, I feel the same about them. And I really believe we can guard somebody for 25 or 30 seconds. And then that last 5 seconds, if they haven't got a shot off, that creates an advantage. But going into the style that we're playing, the shot clock obviously helps. So for us, we're going to try to get the ball down the floor as quick as possible the first 10 to 12 seconds. And if you get your shot, meaning a shot that you work on and that you're highly confident in, for some people that might be a rhythm three, for some that might be getting to the rim, you know. So the whole deal is we want to get to the rack, we want to get layups, get fouled, get to the free throw line, and we want to create rhythm perimeter shots off that. You may have a player here or there that you're really confident in their elbow jumper and you're okay with that. And that's just everybody understanding their role. But we're going to get that shot early. Then we're going to, if we don't get something there, we'll go into our offense. And if we don't get anything out of our offense, or if we're not creating shots out of our offense, then maybe that last 10 seconds we'll run a quick little hit.
You know, I know there's been a lot of hype about this sophomore class you got coming up, and we will get to that in a moment. But you guys do have some great returning players coming back this year as well.
Lauren Waymire just joined us from volleyball, and she's having great practices. Cameron Mullins, as good as I've ever seen her. I've always felt like she's the epitome of a point guard, doing a great job of taking care of the ball and communicating out there. And Amelia Rucker's playing great, shooting the ball great, and all three of them are doing what they do well. And we believe that we're not asking our kids to do anything extraordinary. Just whatever it is that you do well, just do that. And then you've got Parker Husky, who's a returning starter, played a lot as a sophomore. And if I'm going to say that there's any kind of a downer, and it's not on the person, but the situation, and that is, I really thought we were going to have Ashlyn Estes, but she is recovering from a surgery right now and rehabbing, and she's had a couple setbacks with that, but she's a huge piece to the puzzle for us, and we're looking to get her back in December, and I think she's only going to make us better. And then you've got those seven sophomores who bring a lot of energy to practice, and the thing about them is they're always working on their game, and they're in the gym all the time, and in a lot of ways they're younger, but in a lot of ways they're leaders as well.
So, you know, you mentioned a few of the players, and I saw firsthand Lauren, I really thought towards the end of last season she really improved. You know, that was a good plus to see, and I'm sure that's continued in the off season. Cameron Mullen, I know you mentioned her as a point guard on defense. She's also very pesky to other players as well.
Well, they all better be this year if we're going to play the style we're going to play. They're going to all have to be really good defenders on the ball, and then with everything we're doing from 94 feet going all the way back into our half court defense. So we got a lot of depth, and everybody should be able to give a really high level of energy on the defensive side of the ball, because we got plenty of depth, and it's not always the same. Playing time's not going to be the same, but we do have players who can come in and for a minute or two and give a player who's going to get a lot of minutes a little breather, and that's going to make all the difference in the world instead of a kid trying to go out there and grind for 32 straight minutes.
Now, one thing you always say to me just about every time that you talk to me at halftime is not only the quality of athletes that you have, but also the quality of people that you have. I know you like to preach that when it comes to your team as well.
Well, you know, the basketball, we've had a lot of players who were super talented, not a lot in our program that were super talented or athletic, so to speak. But if you don't have the character with it, it doesn't matter. And when you've been somewhere for 28 years, unfortunately you've had a few years where you can say, you know what, that team could have been better had that one person or two people had more character or been more bought in. But that's what I like right now is when you look at the 12 kids on our roster, including our manager, Bailey Morrison, the character is tremendous, and that gives you a lot of hope as a coach, because you know that we're going to go through some adversity. I mean, basketball is too long of a season. We're already going through it with Ashlyn, but the character and the type of people they are and the way that they deal with adversity, that's going to be the true test. We never, ever, as a program, have ever come out blazing in November and December. Maybe a couple of years, but it's going to be, where are we at about mid-January? That's really the test, and we want to grow and start to peak during that time, but that's never happened without the character. And we got to have buy-in, and I can sit here and say, I don't expect us to deal with anything, but we're going to deal with some things, some adversity. Maybe we lose a game we shouldn't, whatever. But the biggest thing is when the kids leave us, they got to be able to hear the positive stuff when they get away from us. And we don't have to have character from our players and support and everybody buying in, but you got to have that from the parents too. And I feel like we have that, and I'm excited about it.
You know, Coach, speaking on that again, a lot of people who may not be near the program or see the program or only show up on Friday nights, they see basketball. They see the basketball side of it. What are some things as a team that you guys are doing to, and I know you do this as well with your players, that you pour into your players, you try to build team character, you try to build that camaraderie. I know you do some dinners before the games and some things like that. What are some things like there that you're an educator, you're a coach, but, that the fans can see that this is a program that cares for these girls and what they do. What are some things that you do as a team to help build that, especially when you've got a blend of, returning seniors who have played a lot since their sophomore year and a junior that's returning, and then as they're welcoming in new players, what are some things you do to help build that team camaraderie?
Well, it started in the summer and a group of kids, a new group of kids, being around each other a little bit, staying in hotels, spending a lot of time together on the bus, team camps, getting in the weight room. spending really fun times together, but also having to go through some tough practices together. But then it graduates into just being together. You know, if you get out of school, get out of practice Friday at 3 and we play at 6, the whole team going to eat together, spending time together, committing to each other, whether it's, okay, hey, we're going to all go work top flight. You know, they recently picked a young lady who is in need who will not have a Christmas. And we've got a list, and every one of them, they don't know what day that we have picked yet, me and the other Coach Leonard, but we're going to literally send them out one day and basically give them credit card and say, get everything on this list. And that giving back is going to create a bond that you can't even define. And so just the team dinners before home games that the parents are going to do. And I'm going to be honest with you, the little things that you don't even think about, like sitting in the locker room at lunch during the school day and just being around each other and committing to each other and spending time with each other. And those are the things that we try to lead them, you know, to do, and they're already doing it. And they like each other. That's huge. If you like each other and you want to win for the girl to your left and your right more than you want to win for yourself, then you got a chance.
Let's talk a little bit about what you're going to be seeing this upcoming season. Of course, you open in 2 days with Batesville, and then a lot of other big games coming up before conference play. So you guys are in some good classics as well.
We are. You know, of course, we have our alumni game Saturday, and I'm probably not even going to sit on the bench because I really want that to be an enjoyable time, not just for our kids, but especially for those ladies who's given so much to our program that will be there playing against us. Also an opportunity to have Coach Brenda Yancey come back in and sit on the bench. Just celebrate the history of the program. You know, those that are playing now, those that played before us, and then those young ones that will be coming after these girls. Batesville is tough. I mean, I don't know what else to say. It. They play a different style that sometimes you can't say, okay, we're going to run this. You just have to play. It is a helter-skelter, three people running at the ball. Hopefully you'll panic and throw it away. And then they go down, they play a little bit of a matchup, and if you're not a basketball player and you don't attack that and just be a player and move without the ball, then, you know, we can kind of talk to them a little bit about, you know, this is where you need to attack it, but they got to do it. It's a different game plan, you know, and that's what's made Greenwood so good. The thing that's good about seeing Batesville style of play is it's basically what Greenwood does, but Greenwood's doing it with a lot better players. Then I'm sitting in my office this morning thinking about, you know, I'm not even thinking about the alumni game. I'm thinking about, all right, what do we got to make sure we get in before Monday? And we basically got today's practice to do it. And that's it. And then maybe a walkthrough Monday before we play Batesville. So I'm thinking about that. And then we have actually kind of a weird deal where we're going to go have a benefit game on the next Thursday. And that's not something we need to really prepare too much for. But we need to be looking at the game after that. So early on, and the best way I can say it is, we've got a good basketball team. The record may not indicate it early because of our schedule, but everything will take care of itself.
Well, you mentioned early on that it may not indicate it, but then when you get to conference play, that's when it really starts mattering for postseason implications. This is the 5A West has some good teams. I know all coming back. Greenwood's tough again this year. What else do you see from the conference?
The conference is going to be good. It's, you know, I think that when we played in the East, it was a different type of basketball, but still very good basketball. And the thing about the East Conference was the game prep was about the same for every game. We knew that about every team was going to be trying to do the same thing with the athletes they had over there. What's tough about the West is it's a different prep every game. You know, they all play a lot of zone, but it's all different. Their styles are different and their philosophy is different. The coaches in the East and the West were very good. But, you know, Greenwood's going to be right up there. They'll probably be preseason number one in the state of Arkansas, and especially in our classification. They're going to get some top five votes for overall, as they should. I expect Russellville to be very good. Sodom Springs is going to be very good. And then I think Alma, and those four are going to be in the conversation a lot as far as the preseason prediction. And then you've got Mountain Home, Harrison, Greenbrier, and I'm missing one.
Van Buren.
We're going to be picked in the bottom half. But what we got to make sure we do is we got to try to get at least one of those top three, you know, get them twice and maybe, you know, get a little lightning in the bottle one night against a couple of those others. But we just want to get in. I think winning conference is awesome, but getting in the playoffs is the most important thing. Once you get in, anything can happen, but it's going to be a tough conference for sure.
You know, in the conference, and most people know you play a preseason kind of pre-conference schedule with some tournaments, and then when it gets in conference, it's a home and away. Can you speak to a little bit about the advantage that our players have playing at home and the importance of fans showing up and supporting these players when they are home, and how, you know, does that help you knock off the Greenwood at home? You know, they have to make a long trip. Our kids are kind of used to that. How does that affect the play here?
I think routine's huge, and you know, the home routine is much easier mentally and physically. You know, all of your road trips are different as far as even where you're going to eat, you know, what time are you eating, and those things can vary. But the routine at home never changes. And I think that's having that extra prep of practice on home games is huge. Our student section makes a big difference. You know, it's just the comfort, I think, the subconscious comfort of being at home. The kids, you know, shoot on those goals every day. They're on their own working in the gym all the time. But it's a huge advantage for us being at home, and obviously the things I mentioned, but just the crowd and the crowd getting into it is huge with the student section, the band, the cheerleaders, and then our home fans who are so loyal. So yeah, I believe that playing at the Hangar is a place that, number one, other teams don't want to travel. You know, Coach Fulcher and I, we just kind of grin when coaches come in and complain about the trip. And we're like, well, we got to do it seven times. That's just conference. And so we know right there when someone comes in, that's the first thing they're saying. We've already got an advantage. So it's just – I think the mental probably to the physical is 4-1, honestly, when it comes to our opponents and to us on that side of it. But I don't think I answered your question about the tournaments. The only two tournaments we're playing in this year, Matt, are the Branson tournament, that's boys and girls, and then we host in our Ultimate Auto Group, which is boys and girls.
Are you guys going to be in the Highland Classic?
We play one game, and we're going to play against Mammoth Springs. So got a great, great team, and Coach Scott Small actually was on our staff when he was here teaching at Mountain Home, so he's done a great job.
All right. Well, Dell, thank you so much, and we are so looking forward to getting the season started in 2 days.
Really appreciate y'all doing this and recognizing our kids before the season starts. It really means a lot.
That was Cook Mountain Home Girls Basketball Coach Dell Leonard. We're going to take a break, come back, and talk with Mountain Home Boys Basketball Coach Josh Fulcher in just a moment. This is the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show on Classic Hits 101.7. We welcome you back to the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show here on Classic Hits 101.7. Let's turn our attention to the boys, and joining us now is Mountain Home Head Boys Basketball Coach Josh Fulcher. Josh, good morning.
Good morning. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Glad to have you, and glad to have the season coming up in just a couple of days. First off, let's kind of start the same way. You just kind of tell me what's been going on with your off season.
Well, you know, again, it starts in the springtime when we get our ninth graders. You know, we bring them down the hill after their season, and you know, we get to work right off the bat trying to form, you know, team chemistry. I heard Coach Leonard speak about the summertime. Summertime's a great time for that team bonding. You get the guys away, stay in some hotels, compete in some games, so you get another idea of who can do what in different spots. And then we've just been right at it, you know, day one, first day of school, we've been after it, getting after it. And things I like about this group, I feel it's probably the deepest group that I have seen since I've been here in Mountain Home. We've got a lot of guys, probably 11, 12 deep of guys that we could put in there and feel really comfortable about. But that, again, that's all practice stuff. You know, we return a relatively inexperienced group. You know, we have last year's bunch, we didn't have very many seniors and we didn't have very many juniors. Well, we have four seniors this year. And only one of them really has – well, one of them has varsity experience. One of them was hurt all year last year. And then our two other seniors, they came in and joined us last year, move in, and one returning back to the program. And I really love our senior group. That's Kai Bickford, which Kai, you know, he's our returning point guard. He is the experience that we have. And but, you know, Kai's been doing awesome things on the cross-country track, and so he's been relatively inconsistent in there. But we're a whole lot better when he's out on the floor, and he'll be joining us today full-time. And then we've got Ian Mason, which he's the move-in. We have Mason Walker, which, you know, he's coming back from injury. He played some as a sophomore for us. We really liked a lot of things about him, but we haven't seen him on the floor, in a year and a half in game action. And then Hagen Robb came and joined us last year. There's a lot of really good things that we like about him. He's still you can tell that, he missed a year of basketball. One thing I love about the game of basketball, you can't cheat it. And if you take off a year, it shows. And but then behind that, we have a really strong junior class and we have a really strong sophomore class. We just like our groups that are stacked. We have several groups stacked in a row here. So I really believe strongly about the future of our program. I love the depth that we have in our program. And, you know, it's really a lot of people are – you know, going to kind of equate the way we're playing to the shot clock, but honestly, not really. I think all coaches, if you're going to be a good coach, you need to adjust to your talent, to your players. We were going to play a different style anyways because of the depth. We also, our guards aren't very, very big, so we can't just sit down and guard in a half-court set. We need to extend those guys so you can play a couple of guys that are, you know, undersized. So we like to extend out a little bit. So we were going to do that anyways to allow, you know, a couple guards that are probably, you know, 5'11", 5'10", to be on the floor at the same time. But I think with it goes hand in hand with the shot clock. It will change how we're playing. But also I think the biggest part is we're just adjusting to our players.
You know, Coach, to follow up on that, I kind of talked to Coach Leonard about this too, but with the shot clock coming in, it's new. I know you and I have sat down and talked about, you know, how's that going to change and what are your thoughts? And a lot of people may think, oh, no, it's going to be something different. But you were actually excited about the shot clock coming in as the potential of what it might look like at the end of game situation sometimes for us and what could happen and keep us in some games. Can you explain that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, you know, what we've seen in the past when you can when a team would have a three possession lead on us, a 6 point lead, they'd go to half court and tuck the ball and we'd have to chase them around, or we're just going to sit there, you know, and we want to give our kids a chance. And a lot of those times we get out of position, we start to have to foul, we leave the rim unprotected, or we just get out of position on rebounds, and then we're losing games by double digits. So the first thing that's going to happen is going to prevent teams from just going to half court and using their speed and athleticism against us. I think one thing that shot clock's going to do is going to reward the better executing teams. And I always feel that we just have confidence that we're going to be the better executing team night in, night out. The biggest difference probably for us is what we're going to see more of. It's changed a little bit of our preparation, but not much, because we're prepared for everything. We're prepared for zone traps. We're prepared for, you know, full court man trapping, half court trap, everything that you can run against us, we will be prepared for. We always have been prepared for it. We're just going to see more of it. My feel is we'll see more extended defenses. We're going to see, you know, some heavy ball pressure, some trapping. We're going to see some half-court trapping. We're going to see some token pressure. All of those things just to kind of dictate pace, slow it down, and then maybe get you into a you know, a 12-second, you know, 14-second half-court offensive set. Well, you know, I believe if you extend your defense, you got to look for early opportunities anyways. And I think that's an advantage to us because we're going to be prepared on whatever is thrown at us. So what will look differently is teams will try to do it more, and we will take those shots. And, we're going to but different for us, we're going to do more of that, partly because of the shot clock. But, again, mostly is because of our personnel. And we're going to do some things that will look like ball pressure, look like trapping. Sometimes we will. Sometimes it's token. Sometimes, but we've got a nice little bag of tricks, you know, where we're able to do some more things defensively. And I really feel like it's an advantage to us. We played in our first shot clock game several years ago at Fayetteville, and to be honest with you, we didn't even know it was going to happen. The girls' game starts, and we opened up with a shot clock violation, and I call up Coach Husky. I was like, hey, did you know we're playing shot clock game? He's like, no. I was like, neither did me, and I guarantee you Coach Leonard didn't know either. So my whole thought was like, all right, how do I approach this? Well, I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. We're going to have a call, just a certain call. So pregame, like, hey, with 14 seconds, this is our set that we're going to get into. We're not going to overemphasize it. And without ever preparing for it, we had one shot clock violation that night. It's 35 seconds is a long time. But I think the style of play will probably, and just the whole idea of it, will make teams think and play differently. We've seen it from our guys. When we first started going against the clock, they're still learning. But partly because, you know, we've got a lot of inexperience. And so there's going to be learning curves regardless of whatever style of play it is. And there's also learning curves when your starting point guard he hasn't been consistently in the gym with your team, so it's given a lot of other guys reps. It's also happened with we've had some guys, with the injury bug, and so we've rotated a lot of guys, which is good. We're getting a lot of guys reps, but it's not, we're nowhere near where we want to be, but. I don't think the shot clock has anything to do with that. I think it's all just our inexperience.
Talk to me a little bit about, because I know one thing the Mountain Home Athletic Department encourages often is for these kids to be multi-sport athletes. You know, I can see that as a little bit of a positive, a little bit of negative. You haven't, like your football players haven't been there yet, but at the same time, at least you know that they're well in shape and going to be ready at least stamina wise for the season.
Absolutely. Well, and it's we've got a really huge important player coming in from football, but Matt, just about every one of our kids are multi sport. We've got cross country, tennis, golf, soccer, track. I'm a huge proponent of playing multiple sports. If I have anybody that's a single sport guy, I try to encourage them to play something. But I don't want to push it or strong arm it in any kind of way, but I want to support our guys. I think it's good to get a break from something. Whether golf is your favorite sport, it's good to take a break from that mentally. And basketball doesn't have to be your number one, or soccer doesn't have to be your number one, or whatever it is. You could still play multiple things. My favorite food is maybe cheeseburgers. Well, I'm not going to eat cheeseburgers all the time because it's not going to be my favorite food anymore, or whatever. So, but again, yeah, there's certain things that when they come in, there's certain sports. When he comes in from football, it'll be there's a lot of stoppage in football. So the continuity of conditioning will be different. The stop and go, there's a lot of lateral. But knowing the kid that's coming in from football, and that's Robert Dover, mm-hmm. he'll have no problems adjusting. He's a gifted athlete, and he's an animal. And we love the toughness that our football guys bring to us. Absolutely.
So, you know, you mentioned Dover, and I know you got some other good quality players coming back. You know, Braden Dewey is one of the ones that comes to mind as well. Tell me about some of those returners.
Okay. Well, so, our returning players that got a lot of playing time last year, we spoke about our point guard, Kai. Braxton Carson is a player who got a lot of playing time last year. You know, he's kind of been hit with the injury bug, so he's been out a lot. And then you've got Braden Dewey. Now, we relied on Dewey a lot last year, and it's hard to at this level. It's hard for your dude to be a sophomore, and so there was a lot of kind of growing pains. But he got that experience, and we expect him. We're excited about the next level that he's going to take for us. We saw, you know, towards midseason last year, Robert Dover became a really big time player for us. We saw, you know, Coben Inskeep and McGee Harris, they got some playing time for us, but not just huge varsity minutes. So really, we just got those two, those four have varsity experience, but those two kind of played a little bit. I'm talking about Coben and Muggs. They played a little bit, but then behind that, there's not a whole lot of varsity experience. So it's going to be very interesting. Kind of like Coach Leonard was talking about, it's going to take us a while to gel and figure some things out. We've got some sophomore players that we are really excited about. Just got a whole class. That whole class is really excited about. We've got ninth and eighth. And I know Coach Godwin's going to be in here talking about his group, and we're really excited about our young ones all the way into top flight. We love our top flight groups too.
So tell me a little bit about the season you got coming up. I know you got Batesville coming up, and then also a few days after that, tell me how this game got organized with you and Rogers Heritage over at Oklahoma City.
Well, you know, the AAA come out with a proposal here a while back where we were able to add games. So Rogers Heritage is one of the games that we were added to our schedule. We had already pulled out of doing the three tournament thing, so we added a couple of other games that haven't been on the schedule before. We're participating in the Border War at NAC, which something we've always wanted to do, but we had a tournament during that time. Our tournaments are going back to Branson, and we've got some really good teams that we're playing there. Lake Hamilton will be one of the top teams in the state. Waynesville, Missouri, and Branson is the other schools in that. Waynesville is an extremely talented program as well. And then we've got our ultimate tournament here. But then we've added a lot of, non-conference games. And going into the Oklahoma City thing, we were scheduled to go to Rogers Heritage. They came to us a couple years ago during COVID. We weren't able to return that last year because, you have to play a certain amount of games. Well, we were going to them because we owed them a game, and they just called us one day and asked, hey, we've played Gravit before at Oklahoma City. Is that something you would be interested in? I was like, absolutely. Earlier in the summer, I'd spoken to Coach Husky about wanting to play in Memphis, and, can we get a team in the East? Can we play somebody over in Memphis, boys and girls? And he's like, well, I'm afraid that'll take a lot of planning. Let's look on that maybe next year. So that was already on the radar for us. So when this opportunity come up, I called him. I said, hey, we've got this opportunity. All the paperwork has already been done. The legwork has been done by Rogers Heritage. They had a team drop out, and they have a room for us to play on that night. And so he gave us the okay with it, and we really tried to get Rogers Heritage girls to play. We wanted to do a boys and girls, and initially we were trying to play Rogers Heritage anyways. They had a game that they weren't willing to get out of, and I just think their coach is probably scared of how good our girls are going to be. And didn't want to play us. But if we look at doing something like this in the future, we definitely want to do boys and girls because our kids love each other. Our boys and girls get along great. The coaching staffs get along great. And I think it'd just be a fun time for all of us to enjoy. But we're very grateful for this opportunity. I don't know if we can do it every year, but it's something that I would like to do where a kid that comes through our program will get to experience something like that, whether it be Oklahoma City, Memphis, or, who knows, New York City. We get the girls involved, we might go to Madison Square Garden, I bet.
Good luck paying for that.
Well, again, we'll have to get the girls involved in that.
So then tell me about some of the matchups you'll see in the 5A West.
Okay. Well, you know, this year, of course, I think this is Russellville's conference till somebody knocks them off. I mean, they've earned that right. You've won it 6 years in a row, and there's been some really – Valonia was a really talented team, and Siloam was a really talented team last year. But, you know, Valonia has been replaced by Harrison. Russellville has graduated some crazily outstanding players, but they got a lot of talent. They're the most talented.
One for one, yeah.
Yes, yes. And they're going to be the most talented team in the conference. And again, they have the confidence of they've been the dudes for nearly a decade now in that conference. But, you know, after that, we're seeing a really young and talented conference. So it's really whichever team that kind of gets this figured out. I think Van Buren's going to be good. They have they were young last year, so they got a lot of experience last year. They probably have a leg up on everybody because of that experience. But then everybody else is this, you know, this non-conference time, November, December, is going to be huge. And it's going to be huge for us. We've got to get it figured out so we can go into conference, because every game is going to be up for grabs. And we need to go and win those games. And, you know, we always talk about we're very confident. We believe we're going to beat everybody that we step on the floor with, because we have confidence through preparation. We don't feel like we're underprepared for anybody. But when you do lose games and you have some tough heartbreaks and some things that don't go your way, you do lose some confidence. So for a young team, we need some good things to happen early, and we need to kind of get it figured out this first non-conference. But then we at least need to be playing at another level come conference time.
So to kind of piggyback on that a little bit, Coach, you know, I know the scheduling comes out a couple years in advance, or you got to get these kind of home and aways and all that set up. You know, I think a lot of times if people look at our basketball programs and they may see the overall record and they'd be like, well, they're just okay. But what people don't understand is our non-conference schedule is really, really tough.
Yes.
And it sets us up for whenever conference season comes around, which is why you see us competing well in conference. You know, does that – as a coach, do you look at that non-conference and say, hey, I've got a young team, we really need some – confidence builders and try, or is it set so much ahead that you're just kind of like, oh man, we got to kind of fight through this and what we got here?
Well, you know, and it's funny you talk about that, Brad, because I've always been a real big believer of you know, the non-conference is you got to prepare your team through adversity and a tough schedule for conference. And but then you look at, then you look back on like a year last year, like, well, it would have been nice to have some confidence builders. But the competitor in me, that's not me. You know, like when a Fayetteville calls you and wants to play, I'm like, yes, let's hook it up. I want to play the best programs in the state. That's why I love being in Mountain Home. That's why I love the competition that we play. And I love that most of our people support that. Most of our people understand that we're not just looking for token wins. We wouldn't really get anything out of beating anybody that's a 20-point win. Now, does that feel good and does that look good on the record? And absolutely, but I think it's my job to prepare the teams to the best of their ability. It would be nice to have some confidence builders. You know, sometimes you look back, but man, there's not a better feeling, you know, when you can beat somebody. And I heard Coach Leonard talk about, you know, the home advantage that we have. And, you know, a couple years back when we beat, you know, Fayetteville and Russellville, who are two of the top overall teams in the state, they come to the hangar and we beat them. You know, those are things that just mean something. It means more competing against those programs and beating those programs you know, it's just something that you just can't take away, and just having that opportunity, and it just makes the preparation better. You know, when you know, hey, we've got to be taking this serious. Your practices and your film studies and your scout stuff is more fruitful.
Yeah, we kind of joke that Coach Husky, I think, takes off and goes to the semifinals and finals of 4, 5A and 6A, and just says, okay, there's our non-conference schedule that we're going to have the next year.
Yes, you know? And that's really, I mean, that's what. You know, when I came here, I probably didn't appreciate that much until just being at that level and just appreciating the competition and playing those teams. And sometimes, you know, when Coach Husky hired me to be the junior high coach, I'm sitting there and I'm not knocking our kids or our program, but I'm like, okay, we probably shouldn't be on paper anywhere close to this team, but we're right there. We got a chance. And it's just kind of that underdog, and it's really kind of being here has kind of helped brought that to me anyways. I feel like just kind of my life story is kind of like an underdog story. So I completely embrace being the head coach of the Bombers. I completely embrace playing the toughest competition. And, you know, Coach Leonard is the same way. That's why I love he's not scared to play anybody. And that's why we take pride in that. You know, we're not going to back down from anybody. You call us and you won't play us. If we got room on our schedule, we're going to play you. You know, that's just the way it is. And that's the way we're going to carry ourselves. And that will never change. We ever see a watered down schedule from us? Absolutely not. I mean, that's just we're not going to count wins. We want to prepare our teams for really the ultimate goal, and that is to make a run in a state tournament. If we're doing that, going sub 500, but we end up making a run at it, that's our job to put our kids in what is our ultimate goal. You know, and our ultimate goal is never we want to win so many games. Our ultimate goal is where do we want to finish, and that is that's the most important thing to our guys, to our program.
Josh, looking forward to seeing your team this season.
Matt, Brad, I appreciate everything you guys do. I appreciate KTLO. I appreciate the platform, all of the things that you guys do for our program and our kids and our community. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We're going to take another break and talk about what to expect for the junior high season. All that coming up. You're listening to the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show on Classic Hits 101.7. We welcome you back to the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show here on Classic Hits 101.7. Matt Sharp and Brad Coleman joining you. Actually, before we talk about the what's to come for the junior high season, Dell Leonard and Josh Fulcher are both back with us. And Dell, Josh talked a little bit about some of the scheduling that you guys that he's got for his boys, and you guys kind of experienced the same thing with your girls as well.
Well, it's every year, and you go back and look at both of our schedules, and there are going to be two or three state champions or state runner-ups on our schedule that we've played. And that's what I meant when I said we may be, and I'll throw out a pretty tough scenario, we might be 1-9, but we're going to be a really good 1-9 team. And I think that every point that Josh made was spot on, but there's so many good teams, and you know, and I see it a lot with coaches so worried about their personal record. You know, but that's not going to make you better at the end. And I see a lot of teams that have really a lot of talent, and they might have one real challenging game about every 10 games or so. Now, they can't do much about the conference they're in. That they have no control of that. But the non-conference schedule, I feel like that those coaches that have those really talented teams, they should be loading up, or even when they're not talented. And I see so many teams that fell in the end because they never did face enough talent. The whole way I look at it is this, and it's we're teaching more than basketball. There is no turbo clock in life, and a lot of these teams get out there and they just show up and they just win because of their schedule, and they rack up whatever, you know, unbelievable records, but in the end it hurts them. And so part of our job too is to try to put as much adversity on our kids' plates as possible so that not only can we be better prepared later on in the season, but also how to deal with it in life. And, you know, it's sports, athletics, it's one of the few things that parents can release their kids to where you can take risk without a chance of, you know, really getting hurt in a lot of ways. So it teaches kids to take risk, and that's what the point I think Josh was making as well, and I thought he said a lot of great things.
You know, for both of you coaches, with the as tough as our schedule is, tough as our conference is, I'm sure consistency throughout the program, through your younger programs up into feeding your high school program, is super important. And, you know, I know there's some new hires that happen both ways on the junior high programs for both ones. And so, you know, could you tell us a little bit about kind of the hiring process or the coaches that you have as we transition into the junior high?
Well, the first thing that we did at the high school was I feel like that I actually was asked a question recently about, you know, what would you tell a younger coach coming straight out of college? And I said, well, number one, if you're coaching girls and you're a male, get a good female assistant. And we did, and we got a great one. And I know she's my wife, and I know I'm biased, but she's the best coach I know, and Lindsay Leonard, and the kids love her. And it's made all the difference in the world in our practices coming into the summer and this preseason. And so that's she's been a great hire for us, and super excited about it. You know, just the school year in itself has been fun, and getting to work with her every day and the kids being around her and her being around them. At the junior high, obviously, by her leaving and vacating that spot, we needed to get someone really good there, and we did. And Keaton Tennyson is, you know, he's well known. He's been an actual trainer as far as skill development, which I think is a piece and a huge component that's getting more and more important as the game changes. And he's the head of our junior high girls program, and we hired a young lady to assist him, Jordan Campbell, and she's, again, everything you look for in an assistant. Again, I think it's important when you have a male coaching females that you have that piece with a female that gets it, that's a kid magnet, and just compliments him. They compliment each other, and I'm excited about our staff there. And of course, we still have Jill Daves, who's awesome as a seventh grade head coach, and Craig Jackson's our assistant. Also, Skylar King is who our head girls soccer coach, has a great background in basketball, and he's going to help us at senior high as well this year.
Well, and we just a little note here, everyone. Dale just mentioned Keaton. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today because of a family emergency, but. Josh, want to talk real quick about the same thing for you guys. You guys hired Seth Godwin, who you know has a great track record over at Mammoth Spring as well.
Yes, you know one thing about our program that I've been very fortunate to have is consistency. We haven't had any turnover since I've taken over, and you know, we had a really good junior high coach and coach Cody Wilmath, and he left to take the assistant job at North Little Rock, which is an outstanding job in the basketball world. But you know, with that whole process, you know, I knew that Coach Wilmath would be leaving, that his time here was, you know, he was on borrowed time here because he had goals and that I wanted to help him achieve. And, you know, but I'm always prepared for the next step. And you know, several years ago, I spoke with Seth at a coaching clinic of just like, hey, when I have an opening, I want to have a conversation with you. And we didn't talk much more than that, just of like, I'll be calling. You know, Seth is somebody that I've kind of seen from afar. I like a lot of the things that he does. You know, all of his references checked out. And, you know, so I made it a pitch. I honestly thought it might be a long shot to get him. It was you know, how do you pull a hometown guy that's had a lot of success, that's well-liked in his community? And, you know, we just talked, and he come over for a visit. And it was really like, see if this fits. It's got to be the right fit. If it's not a good fit for both sides, you're not going to be happy. And if you're not happy in your position, you're not going to do a very good job. And one thing that we pride ourselves is our guys in our program, we're tight-knit, we're loyal to each other, we're hardworking, we got each other's back. And we had to make sure that he fit with us and that we fit for him. And, you know, visiting with him that day, and, you know, just kind of show him around. And honestly, I was talking to Coach Husky. I said, what do you think the chances of landing Coach Godwin? And he's like, man, I don't know. It's going to, you know, it just – we don't know if we can get him. And, you know, so I had some other people that I was talking to. But, man, after our visit together, and I called Coach Husky, I said, I'm not going to wait on this any longer. Seth has left. I want to call and let him know he's our guy. He's my guy. And I want to let him know that right off the bat. If you think somebody's a right fit, you got to go for it, because our kids are worth it. So I felt we made a good pitch to him. I felt he was a great fit for us. And I called him. I said, we want you. You're our guy. You're my guy. Our kids need you. And you know, and honestly, you know, we kind of left it at that. I knew he had to go and talk to his wife. And he called me the next morning. And I still, you know, it's 50-50. He's called me the next morning. I'm thinking, well, he's going to, you know, respectfully decline because, you know, he turned around and made a phone call. And I was on my way to school, and he said, I want the job, and I want to be there. And, man, I was fired up. And again, that doesn't change. He's done great things and since he's been here, and he's going to continue doing great things. And we're lucky to have him. And I would feel that he'd probably say the same thing, that he's happy to be here and happy to be a Bomber.
Well, Dale, let's talk a little bit about the junior high season. I've talked to Keaton a little bit, right after he got hired. I know one thing that I will probably help him in this transition is knowing that he's actually been with some of those players already with that 10-10 training program that he has.
Yeah, he's very familiar with a lot of our kids, both junior high and the high school. And again, you know, everything that Coach Fulcher said regarding Coach Godwin, I echo all that with Coach Tennyson. Is really the same situation. You know, it's a little bit of a long shot. Didn't think we could get him, but we did, and we're extremely happy that we have him. As far as the junior high Lady Bombers, Jayla Yonkers is coming back, played on that team last year, was a huge piece of that team, and honestly a kid that I could probably pull up as a ninth grader and she would play a lot on the high school team right now. She's a really good player, committed, come a million miles in 3 years. You got Lorelei Green, Lauren Rawls, Lakin Anderson, Deanna Heumann, Haley Kotlicki, and Tay Chairs, and I know I'm missing some. I don't necessarily have a roster in front of me right now, and I hate that because I am missing some, but that's pretty much a strong core there. And he feels good about them, and he's going to try to do a lot of the same things that we're doing. Now, they don't have the shot clock at the junior high, and not sure we'll ever have it, but I personally think that the game should be the same all the way through, but I don't make those decisions. But he feels good about them. They've had some good practices. A lot of those girls do play volleyball, and they've been together now for a couple of weeks. Also, Kara Jackson, I know I missed her, so thank you, Brad. She's a huge piece. She'll be in the starting lineup more than likely, and anybody that's ever coached the Jackson knows that they're going to play with tremendous energy, and they bring a lot to the team. So Kara is a huge piece of that team as well. But super excited. You know, that's our feeder program, and that's important to us. And you can't just get caught up in your own team. You got to make sure you're taking care of 7th, 8th, and 9th grade and that they're being developed, and we've got the right coaches in place to do that. And then it goes below that. It goes into our top flight program. So it's a process all the time, and we're really in good shape with our junior high situation.
I know the conference that the junior high sees is a little different from you guys. I mean, you guys go out west, they're going to go out east and face teams like Annie Camp and Douglas MacArthur and the schools over in West Memphis as well.
Well, you know, the travel is tough, obviously, but I'm glad we're in a conference because every time someone loses a game, they can't cancel us, and we know we've got those games locked in conference, plus they get a conference tournament. So I'm super excited about that, and I know Coach Fulcher is too, and we fought hard for that. Our athletic director, Coach Husky, has fought hard for that. He's been through a lot of meetings and a lot of battles, making sure that stays where it's at, to get it, first of all, and then keep it. But, you know, is the travel tough? But it is. But I'm glad that they're starting to get accustomed to that and acclimated to that, and because that's what happens in high school. And I feel like that is also, you know, we lose numbers because kids in the past, I feel like there's a lot of reasons why you lose numbers. But then kids get into high school and, you know, if they've just been traveling to Cotter and Flippin and Yellville and Calico and Viola, and they're not really used to the schedule, and can they do it and still keep up with their academics? I think we lose a lot of kids who fear that situation. So now they're getting used to it, and they're getting used to that routine. So it's being in a conference is huge, and it is a little bit different style of play. But when you're talking about the things you have to develop in junior high more than anything, which is solid fundamentals, that style of play that we see definitely helps us with that too.
All right, well, Dell, thank you so much, and we're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and talk with Mountain Home Junior High Boys Basketball Coach Seth Godwin. That coming up in just a moment on the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show on Classic Hits 101.7. It's time once again on the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show to talk about what to expect for the junior high boys this year. And joining us now is a new Mountain Home freshman boys coach, Seth Godwin. And Seth, first off, glad to have you here in Mountain Home. Just kind of tell me how things have been going for you and your team so far.
Man, I'm happy to be at Mountain Home. Up to this point, you know, we've had some really good practices. I got hired just before the dead period, and so we didn't really get started until after that. We were able to go to some team camps at Branson, kind of see what we're working with, and you know, a good chance for me to just build relationships with our guys early in the summer there. And but, you know, since school starts, we're on week 10, and we've had most of our guys. We've only got a few that were in football, and so they've been working hard and in the weight room and on the floor, you know, trying to get bigger, faster, stronger, build some skill development. Just improve all around their game, and you know, I feel like we're ready for the season starting next week.
Well, you guys, you just mentioned the team camps that that you guys have been to, and I think a lot of people don't realize how crucial some of those off-season team camps are during the summer to have, you know, have your boys seeing you know, all that competition, but also, you know, kind of trying to, you know, gel together as well as a team as well.
Yeah, it's good for us, you know. A lot of kids got a lot of stuff going on, so, you know, we had great attendance, and for us to be able to get all of our guys together and, you know, go play some tough competition up there at Branson where we went to Tri Lakes is good for us, and only going to make us better and only going to make us well-prepared for what we were going to face during the season, for sure.
You know, Coach, I know you and Coach Fulcher have a great relationship, you know, and just hearing him talk about it. How does the transition into – the system here, do you talk about the style of play that you're going to do as ninth grader that's going to be feeding the system? Do you guys talk much between the two systems and how you're going to play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from day one, we've had a good relationship, like you said, and, you know, we've met on multiple occasions, and from the ground up, even with our seventh grade coaches, we meet often and we talk about, you know, the vision we have for our program, what we want to do offensively, defensively, and how we can get them ready for when Coach Fulcher gets them at the high school level. And so, yeah, we're incorporating a lot of that stuff. You know, being a former head coach, I'm going to put a twist up and add some wrinkles to what I want to do, but at the same time, though, we want to be able to develop our kids and make sure they're ready for the next level.
Well, tell us about some of the players that you have coming in this year.
Yeah, we have two players that are ninth graders that were moved up as eighth graders. Andrew Haney and Rhett Gilbert. They both got significant playing time as eighth graders, and that's really going to help us out. You know, they've got experience, and then we also got Jackson Corp, who will be a freshman for us. Had a real good year as an eighth grader. Colin Copeland, Bryce Kincaid, all those kids played eighth grade. Also, let me go through my list here, Hunter Estes, and we've got a bunch. We've got 14 kids here that I can name off, and like I said, I don't want to leave anybody out, but we feel good about all of our roster that we've got this year.
Let's talk a little bit about what you guys are going to be seeing this season. I know we'll talk about conference a little bit, but what are some of the early matchups that you have coming
up?
Well,
we go to Harrison Tuesday night, and that may be make or break for me. They may fire me after after game one. But, no, next week we tip off. We've got Bomber tip off, obviously, today, and, you know, we'll tip off with Harrison on Tuesday. Go to Farmington, and then our second week's a big week for us. We go to Bentonville. We've got a tournament over there with some very stout competition. I know we play Fayetteville first round, so we'll have our hands full there. But it's only gonna prepare us for what we're gonna see down the road in conference play for sure.
And then you go into the Northeast Arkansas Conference. We mentioned some of the schools earlier, the schools at Jonesboro, Douglas MacArthur and Annie Camp, and then the three West Memphis schools, and I may be leaving somebody out.
Marion, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, that conference is kind of shook up over the last year or so, and Coach Husky and all of our high school coaches kind of wanted to see our junior high stay in that league and get pushed to their limits and play the best competition night in, night out. And so, yeah, it's going to be us. It'll be the two Jonesboro junior highs, be MacArthur and Annie Camp, and we know they'll be on the boys' side. They'll be athletic and be able to play, and Marion's always good. I believe Marion might have won the district championship last year, and then you've got your three West Memphis schools. So it's going to be a war. It's going to be a dogfight every night. Our kids know that going in. And like I said, we're just really wanting to prepare our kids to make sure they're ready for when Brad and Josh get them at the senior high level.
You know, Coach, one thing I think would love for our fans that are listening to hear is there's plenty of good basketball throughout the week. You know, a lot of times you don't think about the junior high, but you play your conference games on Mondays and Thursdays, correct?
Yes.
And then the high school is usually Tuesday, Friday. So, you know, it's always great to come out and watch some basketball. And, you know, the Jonesboro schools, what a lot of people don't understand too is there's two schools in Jonesboro, but both of them are really, really tough and super athletic. What are you doing to prepare your boys for the athleticism that you may see? You know, we all chuckle because we've seen it. We've been there. I watched three dunks, you know, at the ninth grade level in the conference championship last year. And, you know, what are you doing to help prepare your boys for some of that athleticism?
Well, first off, I think all of us in here would agree that some of these junior high boys games are as good as some lower classification high school boys
games. For sure,
games.
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a parent the other day, and they said last year in that league it was so good they seen some of the best junior high ball they'd ever seen. But, no, as far as getting our kids prepared, we're going to have to be fundamentally sound. We're going to have to do things right all the time. You know, we may be out athleticized every night, and we know that, but, you know, we can still compete. We got to do all the little things right. We got to do the dirty work. We've got to win the rebounding battle. Just a bunch of different things and play good, solid, fundamental basketball, try to limit mistakes, and just execute better than the other team. We know they're going to get up and run, and we don't want to play slow by no means, but because the shot clock's coming and the game's changing, but we want to be well-organized. We want to be a well-oiled machine. We feel like we've got the guard play to be able to handle some of that pressure and athleticism that we're going to see this year. So, yeah, I mean, just being able to kind of weather their athleticism, weather the storm a little bit, and just play good, solid, fundamental basketball and give yourself a chance down the stretch in the fourth quarter and see what happens.
Well, Seth, thank you so much, and we're looking forward to seeing what you guys can do this season.
Thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it.
We're going to take one more break, come back, and put a wrap on this broadcast as we continue along here on the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show on Classic Hits 101.7. Back on the Mountain Home Basketball Preview Show, Matt Sharp and Brad Coleman joining you once again. And Brad, I know it was a really fun event coming up today, the Bomber Tip-Off. It's a chance to see some of the old alumni and then just a chance to see the teams, see what they can do before the season starts.
Yeah, it's super exciting. It's something I think we've been doing for 4 or 5 years now, and it lets the old alumni come back. And, you know, I've been a part of it. I was being an alumni here, getting out there. I probably won't get to play much this year because I'm getting older. But it's just so cool when you get there. You see all these old Bombers, girls and boys, are all in the back gym. They're all talking. They're all telling stories. We got our kids running around. And then to see the young, you know, the team now to be able to say, hey, that can be me someday. And you know, sharing stories, and there's a big group photo at the end, and it's a really cool event that takes place, you know, at 11 o'clock today.
And that does start at 11 o'clock this morning. We hope to see you out there. And we also hope to see you out there for the season opener 2 days away when Mountain Home takes on Batesville.
Yeah, this is my time of year, Matt. I get excited. You know, we hear you on the football broadcast now, and now all of a sudden we get to go do it in basketball. Man, this, I just love it. You know, we got a great group of kids that are coming up, and you know, both coaches, we heard them talk about they're young and they're developed, but you see these kids growing in practice, and I think there's good things to come. And I think by the time conference comes around, I think both teams are going to be rolling, and I think Mountain Home's going to surprise some folks this year.
Well, Brad, this is our first preview show like this. This was fun.
Yeah, we enjoyed it.
Absolutely. I want to thank Brad Coleman for joining me on this broadcast. I also want to thank Josh Fulcher, Dell Leonard, and Seth Godwin for coming in. And we also want to thank you for joining us on the air and online at KTLO.com. For everyone at Classic Hits 101.7, I'm Matt Sharp wishing you a good day, and go Bombers.